FM. Programming on Minnesota Public Radio is supported by the Wiseman Art Museum and the exhibition Painting Revolution, Kandinsky, Malevich, and the Russian Avant-Garde, opening this weekend with an array of special events. Information at 612-625-9494.
6 minutes now past 12. And good afternoon. Welcome back to Midday on Minnesota Public Radio. I'm Gary Acton. Glad you could join us. There is an important and lively debate underway in the state of Minnesota. Money is at the heart of the issue, who should get it, and what it should be used for. Governor Jesse Ventura is on the road again today, visiting Austin and Worthington, trying to rally support for his vision of what to do with the money, trying to rally support for his state budget plan. Meanwhile, folks who believe they have been shortchanged in the governor's budget are trying to rally their supporters as well. And perhaps the most prominent among them is University of Minnesota President Mark Udoff. President Udoff says he was shocked when he saw the governor's budget. He argues that the governor's budget plan would result in significant cutbacks at the U at a time when there is a need for significant improvements at the University of Minnesota. President Mark Udoff has joined us this hour to talk about the governor's budget and to take your questions, so give us a call here if you'd like to join our conversation with President Udoff. Twin City area number is 651-227-6000, 651-227-6000, outside the Twin Cities, 1-800-242-2828. President Udoff, thank you for coming in today.
Well, thank you. I am very concerned about the budget, and I think your statement was accurate.
Now, before we actually get to our discussion, let's listen a little bit to what the governor had to say on this issue. He was at the university's campus in Duluth yesterday.
I recognize that President Udoff may be shocked about my budget, but I believe that with a strong economy, low unemployment, and growing personal income, the cost of government should not expand at an accelerated rate. His own economists agree with me.
Now, the governor emphasized that he is not actually cutting university funding. He's just not increasing it as much as the U wants.
Let's be honest. Nobody got cut. There's no cuts that took place. What's being asked for is new money above and beyond. And when you talk about, well, maybe it's time to look inwardly at why are the tuition costs going up like they are. Guess what? Most of your professors and upper echelon people get paid more than I do, and I'm the governor of the state. And they get paid more money than I do to run the state of Minnesota. There are plenty of people in the college system getting paid triple what I get paid.
Governor Ventura also had some advice for students if tuition is increased to make up for a state funding shortfall.
You've all heard me say if you're smart enough to be in college, you ought to be smart enough to figure out how. Well, I've also started a great program for tuition and scholarship by joining the National Guard. There's plenty of ways to figure out your way through school, and there's nobody that says you got to be done in 4 years. No rule says that.
Governor Jesse Ventura speaking yesterday at the University of Minnesota Duluth. Once again, University President Mark Udoff is with us now, and if you have a question for President Udoff, give us a call, 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. As I understand it, President Udoff, the governor received spending increase requests totaling some $6 billion altogether. And there are now lots of groups, far more of the money requested than the state actually has money to spend. Lots of groups are upset that they aren't getting more. Is your situation at the university really any different than all the other people who had something they wanted but apparently aren't going to get it?
Well, I really respect the governor, and I mean, this is a good faith disagreement on public policy and the budget. I'm even a big tax cutter. But let me explain. Yes, there's $56 million more for the biennium, which means $28 million more per year, roughly. So there's more money. The governor's right. It's still the third worst year since 1945 for the university in a non-recessionary period. Essentially, the governor said, and I'll just explain it. The governor said, give your people a 2% raise, not the 7% we needed for faculty or the 3-4 staff members. Give your people a 2% raise, even if Wisconsin or Michigan is trying to hire away your faculty, and provide for $8 million a year for the medical school to deal with some deficit there. So what did the governor leave out? He left out $58 million in increased health care costs. He left out any inflationary factor for the increase of heating our buildings. He left out any cost for cleaning the new buildings and so forth. In other words, this is not just a matter of semantics. There is literally more money. But if you say, well, did he adjust for inflation, what it cost our employees and professors to live, to pay for the same health care package they got last year, to pay just for the same amount of heat in your building as last year? The answer is we will have to do a major retrenchment. I don't consider health premiums and a 3% raise, which is less than the rate of inflation, to be a wish list. To be a wish list is you wanted 20 computer scientists and you got 5, and you wanted 50 new advisors and you got 3. You wanted more people to do genomics and you didn't get them. This is no wish list. It's just baloney to think about it as a wish list. This will require 5 or 6% cut in academic budgets, because I can't default on the bonds of the university. I can't not heat the building. We've still got to cut the grass and mow the lawn. We've still got to pay health premiums. I'm not going to say to our employees that they don't have adequate health planning. And the problem here is the governor wasn't out to get us. In fact, I think the governor really was somewhat receptive to the plight of the medical school, which really does need to be saved. But we're not a typical state agency. We run differently. People have to draw the distinction between a consumer good and a public good. And we were treated the same as everyone else. And all the gains of the last 3 years will be gone under this budget if it is enacted. We will step in and we will cannibalize those professors' positions. We were down 500 positions, faculty, from the 1990s. We got 100 of them back in key areas. That will all be undone. The increase in services and so forth on campus will be undone. We are 26 among 30 research universities in salaries. We will sink to 30th. We are 70th in overall salaries with universities across the country. We will go lower. The people of Minnesota have to decide what sort of university they want. And this is a formula for a third-class university, a giant step backward. I don't think that's what Minnesotans want. I think Minnesotans want to be smart about this. And they want transfer technology. They want their kids educated. They want reasonable access. They want a quality undergraduate education. And I just don't see it in this budget. What I see is I'm going to tell all our deans, cut back on your programs. That's what you need to do.
Do you think, can you assure Minnesota taxpayers, President Udoff, that you're already spending all the money you get? I mean, your budget is approaching, total budget is approaching, what, $2 billion and about 1.2 or so from the state, that all of that money is being spent as efficiently as it should be?
Oh, I can't assure them of that. Of course not. Any bureaucracy can cut itself. Any bureaucracy has some fat. But let me put it this way. We get $600 million a year from the state of Minnesota. That includes for faculty salaries. We bring in $455 million in research grants every year. It's almost a dollar-for-dollar match. The donors feel the same way. We've just reached the billion-dollar plateau. We're one of 8 universities to get there, and they don't do that if they think you're wasting money and you're running a second-class operation. So, sure, our budget to the governor included $30 million in cuts. We promised to do $30 million more in cuts, and we've done cuts every year since I've been president. And by cuts, I mean taking money out of one area and reallocate it to some other area where it can do more good. This will lead to hiring freezes, and it will lead to the diminution in quality and worse services. You know, if the people of Minnesota want an institution that's more comparable to a deep south state with low taxes and, you know, good institutions but relatively modest, that's what you will get out of this budget. If they see the university is driving the economy and they want their sons and daughters to get a first-rate education and live their lives out in their careers and pay their taxes and all the rest, this is not the way to go.
One more question along those lines. I want to get to some callers here, but what, in your mind, I don't know if this is the right way to phrase it, but for lack of a better, what went wrong here? It seemed to me last fall you had your economic summit, the governor was there, and everybody was all fired up, and by golly, we need to invest all this additional money in the university and restructure Minnesota's economy, getting ready for the 21st century and all of that, and What changed between then and now?
Well, you see, we actually trimmed down these budget requests for economic development. Like, we asked for $1.5 million in nanotechnology. This is a technology using particles that are 1/100,000th as wide as a hair on your head. The California is putting $300 million into that initiative. We put we requested $70 million for the economic development. Wisconsin's putting $300 million. Michigan $1 billion. I think the governor likes a lot of these proposals. I think he's sympathetic to our medical school, which is in a critical period. Certainly sympathetic to our Morris campus and so forth. I think it is an overarching philosophy that we are just like every other agency, and if we got more of our budget, how could he resist the other interest groups and the other state agencies? And my point is, it ain't the same thing, and that is you're investing in the sons and daughters of Minnesotans to educate them, and there is a difference between a lot of the other programs and K through 12 education and university education. And I don't think the governor accepted that. I think he likes it conceptually, but he did not accept the fact that we are different than other departments of government. We're not a department of government. We're a great university. We compete with other states in ways that the other departments do not. We create the human capital in the state in a way that they do not. We have a leveraging effect in a way that most of them do not. We've had lower leveraging effect than light rail. You put a dollar into our medical school, you get $6 back. And I don't think there's any recognition. So we're just part of the larger game plan. But the way the dominoes fall, we're probably more deeply injured than most other parts of state government.
University of Minnesota President Mark Udoff is our guest this hour, joining us to talk about the governor's budget and the difference between what the university requested and what at least the governor is proposing they receive. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call here. 651-227-6000, 651-227-6000. Outside the Twin Cities, 1-800-242-2828. And while we think of it, we should remind you that we have an ongoing forum on our website, minnesotapublicradio.org, about the governor's budget, and specifically in this instance about the university appropriation that's contained in the governor's budget. So if you'd like to join us online, do that. minnesotapublicradio.org. Again, the call-in line, 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. Rochelle, you're up first. Go ahead, please.
Thank you very much. I was interested if Dr. Udoff has given any practical planning or has any committees using that procedure to look into attracting and retaining faculty from the perspective of their principals rather than how high the salary level would be. I would hope that tenured professors at most of the different colleges are impassioned about teaching as well as they are about increasing their salary base or looking to programs at other institutions that are better funded. Okay. Also, I would like to know if it's just a little bit personal on his part, his feelings toward the governor's budget. It seems that the memo that went out to colleges sounds a little personal, especially the line about including one thin dime, et cetera. And I would challenge that if they could look at the last couple of several years of management, fiscal management at the university, if we maybe could stand the test of the third worst season in spending as well as budgeting. There's been a lot of fiscal waste around the university the last year, 12, 15 months especially.
Well, I don't agree with that. I don't think there's been a lot of fiscal waste. We honored our contract with Clem Haskins. In fact, we've been cutting budgets. One thin dime, I'm sorry, it's accurate. We listed, 10 items in an economic development package. There were zero. No thin dime means no thin dime. It's a factual statement. And with regard to salaries, of course salaries are not the only thing. And of course it's how well they teach. And of course it's how well they do research and what outreach and what their moral character is and a whole bunch of other things. No one says it's the only thing. But you try to recruit a great scientist like Catherine Verfaillie, who's offered $8 million by the University of Chicago to move her whole laboratory there. It's not the only thing. In fact, we offered her a lot less for her lab, and she stayed. But it's one of the factors. And it's also a factor for Wisconsin and Michigan and Illinois and Purdue and all the rest of them. So if you want to be competitive in this world, you've got to be competitive at all levels. And money is not everything. There are other criteria that need to be satisfied. But why should a new assistant professor come here for two-thirds of the salary that he or she will make at a comparable institution elsewhere in the country? It won't happen. And that's the accurate situation.
Was the governor correct that there are many, many people at the university faculty members getting paid far more than he is?
No, the governor was not correct. I guess it depends on what the how you define these things. And I don't frankly see the relevance. You know, the governor believes in markets. I believe in markets. You have to pay the professors what the markets demand. Turns out baseball players make a lot more than English professors. Probably in God's eyes, that's not a good idea, but that's where the market takes us today. And if you're talking about our Morris campus, the average faculty member is making in the mid-50s range. If you're talking about on the Twin Cities, it's probably in the high 70s range. We actually looked at it. There are probably out of 3,000 professors, about 300 that make more than the governor. And over half of them are in the medical school. They're basically physicians in clinical settings. So I don't see the relevance. I think if we could reduce those professor salaries of those professors of medicine, then we wouldn't have a medical school because you wouldn't be able to obtain the services of talented people. I don't want to get into an argument about that. You know, we're 26th in comparison with peer institutions. We're 70th looking at a larger group of university. We need to be competitive. We got no money for raises, basically, except 2%. No money for health premiums. No money for utilities. And I frankly don't see the relevance that some people are paid more than the governor. Some of them had a better year.
Mm-hmm. Could you shut down whole programs? Professor Stephen Smith, who used to be at the university, political scientist, was interviewed this morning on our Morning Edition program, and he seemed to suggest, and he was wholly supportive of your position, that the university needs more money, especially for faculty salaries and the rest, but seemed to suggest that there is some wiggle room there, that perhaps some programs are being carried that aren't all that good, and maybe they should just be shut down so you could free up money for the more the top flight programs.
Well, I think that's a very good point, and the way I would say it is that what we have done is, rather than some dramatic announcement that we're closing a department or something, we have shifted resources around. So the vacancy occurs in one department, we take the faculty line and we allocate it someplace else. That is much less contentious than shutting down a whole department. And every time you try to do that, you get a lot of upset alums, and there are always 25 members of the legislature writing you, and it's hard to get done. So we've tried to do that effectively, but not by putting it on the front page of the newspaper. So when we say the medical school is going to specialize in cancer research, implicit in that is there's other type of research or other types of departments that, in our judgment, are not doing as valuable work, and we're shifting resources over. So I think that's fine. But the bottom line question is not who gets paid more than the governor. The bottom line question is, do you want economic development in the state? Only regions that have top-notch research universities do that. You want to give up the $455 million in research funds that comes in? Do you want your children leaving the state when they probably, many of them, will not come back? The University of Minnesota will not disappear. The medical school will not disappear. But they will just sink in quality and become quite banal and average. And my understanding when I arrived here is we sort of had a compact that Minnesotans really understand the importance of higher education. And for 3 years with Governor Carlson and with Governor Ventura and the capital bills and all that, that compact was carried out. And this, I think, deviates from this notion that we would have a first-class institution, accessible, inexpensive, available to the children of Minnesotans, and I think brings us back to an earlier era that we'd prefer to avoid.
Are you going to leave if you don't get the some additional money? You were quoted in the paper the other day as saying that you didn't sign on to preside. I'm not exactly sure of the exact wording, but basically you didn't sign on to preside over the collapse of the university. And the
no, I wasn't threatening
seemed
leaving.
Seemed to implicate that, well, maybe this is...
No, I wasn't threatening that. I'm just trying to be feisty and fight for this, and I hope our listeners will do the same. This is not good public policy. No, it was my weird attempt at a joke. You know, Winston Churchill once said he hadn't signed on as prime minister to preside over the demise of the British Empire. I was just making the point that what I see in all this are things that are very positive. You know, I see a new media center, and I see $18 million of gifts coming into the university. I see an anti-AIDS drug by Dr. Vince. And this is not the way these matters should be handled. But it was not a statement that I'm going to hang up my cleats.
Bill, your question, please.
Well, this isn't against Mr. Yudof or... I agree with what the governor is doing or has done in the budget, and I think that first, I believe millions could be found by these managers being a little more prudent with the money that they're given to run their departments. I've witnessed over the last 2 years some very arrogance on their part in that, oh, well, we bill for everything when we go to the university because we can make more money that way, or, well, I don't care, it's not my money. And so I think what he's doing is he's just making the university become a little more responsible.
Well, Bill, I disagree. We can always be made better, and I'm not saying every penny is well spent, but I think it's a delusion to think that this is a sort of management ploy for straightening things out a little. It's not. This is a commitment to change the character of the university. It will change it. We will not retain the faculty. We will not be able to recruit. We will not be able to do the research. And it is not a question. This budget includes, we've already promised $30 million in cuts. I cut $6 million out of administration the first year. I think no one ought to be deceived. We can always do better. There's always waste. There's always things that money to be saved. But when you look at the magnitude of these cuts, people in Minnesota just have to stand up and say, what type of university do we want? Do we want to be there with an average Midwest or Southern university, or do we want something that's going to attract the talent to the state and do the research? Because that's really your choice, because it's not, take my word for it, it's not possible to cut funds of this magnitude and achieve the goals which I think most Minnesotans would like to achieve.
Joe, you're next. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I want to speak about the thing that President Yudof talked about, $6 at the medical school for each dollar spent. I'm not a doctor, but my wife is a professor at the medical school. She, in her career since 1988, has raised probably about $5 million in research. And her maximum salary as an associate professor in the Department of Otolaryngology has been $65,000. So it's even more than $6 to each $1.
Okay.
Well, Joe, you have a pretty terrific wife there, and but you're right. Only 9% of the medical school budget comes from the state of Minnesota. So if you have to cut back in the medical school, you have to cut back a lot of people. And in the process, when you give up the 9%, of course you're giving up the 91%. That is the research grants they bring in and the revenues from treating patients. And that's what's so tricky. And I think the governor has worked on this pretty hard, but we need to refine some of the language. You need extremely substantial cuts in personnel in the medical school to balance the budget without this money coming in. You need to cut back on the number of physicians. You need to raise the tuition and so forth. So the medical school is most vulnerable. If you're in liberal arts, most of your salary is likely to come from tuition and state funds. So you're not giving up as much revenue when a vacancy is not filled. But Joe makes a very good point. What I gave was an average, but apparently his spouse really is one of those bringing it up.
Now, you did. You were also quoted in the papers this week as saying that if the governor's budget is approved, you may very well have to close down the medical school.
I never said that.
You did not say
that. I did not say that. But I did say that the sign may be the same, but it won't be the same. That is that the soul of a medical school is teaching and research. We have fabulous physicians here in Minnesota. If it only were clinical matters, then there's a hard argument you could make that we should, you know, not be on as large a scale. But here's the problem. We're facing probably the greatest workforce shortage in the healthcare industry in the history of this country, including in Minnesota. We have whole floors of hospitals closing down because they do not have enough personnel. We have articles in the paper about ambulances that are routed to other places. This budget, we proposed having more nurses, more medical technicians, reviving the medical school, rural dentist, pharmacy branch up into, there is not one pharmacist, not one physician, not one nurse, not one medical technician, not one new computer scientist in this budget. This budget will not increase the available labor force in these critical areas over the next 10 years when we're projected to be 1 million jobs short. So when you want to work with a nursing home for your elderly mom or dad, and they can't accept them as clients or patients because of the workforce shortage, part of it is going to be because the public higher education systems have inadequate resources to produce those professionals. That's the reality. It's not going to be just to cut a little fat. It's going to be non-responsive to a critical health care shortage in Minnesota. And if the medical school cuts its class size for physicians, we will be recruiting around the world and in other states, and it is for physicians, and it will be extremely difficult for them to get them here and even more difficult to get them into greater Minnesota.
University of Minnesota President Mark Udoff is our guest this hour of midday, and he is here to talk budget issues, what the university requested versus what the governor has proposed. Let me give you the number here. Don't call, though, because all our lines are busy. You'll just get frustrated. 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. Give us a few minutes to clear some of the lines. And also a reminder, an ongoing discussion on our website, minnesotapublicradio.org, if you'd like to join online. Right now, some news headlines. Here's Greta Cunningham. Greta?
Good afternoon, Gary. Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan says the economy has slowed dramatically. Greenspan spoke before a Senate panel this morning. He told lawmakers that the U.S. economic growth is probably close to zero. He says ballooning budget surpluses have made room for a tax cut, but he would not discuss whether he thought President Bush's proposed cut is too big. Greenspan has said he believes debt reduction is the best use of the extra money. President Bush will dine this evening with Washington's Catholic Archbishop, Peter McCarrick. The president is working on a proposal to let churches use public funds for social service programs. The plan goes to Congress next week. President Bush visited an elementary school in a poor Washington neighborhood today to illustrate his package of education reforms. He praised Merritt Elementary School officials for using annual tests to measure progress. Bush would like to use such tests nationwide. JCPenney officials said the company is cutting 5,300 jobs, or about 2% of its workforce. The company is also closing 47 stores. Penney's is based in Plano, Texas, and operates about 1,100 department stores. Analysts are blaming the company's prior management for failing to respond to changes in consumer taste. In regional news, Senator Bob Lassard is asking his colleagues for more staff and better committee assignments. Lassard is the only legislative member of Governor Ventura's Independence Party. The International Falls senator says he considers himself the minority leader of the Independence Party. A state senator has introduced a bill to require students and teachers in public schools to recite the Pledge of Allegiance at least once a week. Winona Senator Bob Curlin says he would prefer that all schools recite the pledge regularly without the law, but he says he wants to make sure it's being done. The forecast for Minnesota this afternoon calls for sunshine in the east with some clouds this afternoon in the west, highs today ranging from 20 to 30 degrees. At this hour, mostly fair skies reported throughout the region. St. Cloud reports fair skies and 12 degrees. Skies are fair in Rochester and 10. It's fair in Duluth and 19. And in the Twin Cities, some cloudy skies, a temperature of 19 degrees. Gary, that's a look at the latest news.
Thank you, Greta. 25 minutes before 1 o'clock, midday coming to you on Minnesota Public Radio. Our guest this hour, University of Minnesota President Mark Udoff, full bank of callers with questions for President Udoff. So let's get back to the phones. Andrew, you're next.
Yes, Mr. Udolph, I've always been a big supporter of you and the University of Minnesota. I don't think people realize what a valuable resource we have at the University of Minnesota. What I think gets lost in the conversation is the Minsky system, who touches the lives of probably more students than the University of Minnesota. Maybe you could just comment on that or bring them into the conversation also.
Well, we should note, just to put this in context, that actually in terms of what was requested versus what the governor is recommending, they are even further down on the food chain. The gap is even wider.
Well, I mean, I have to say that, I mean, it's not a part of our budget, but Minsky has enormous problems with this allocation. And, you know, Chancellor Anderson will have to explain that, but, you know, he has the same health premium issues. He has the same cost of heating buildings and so forth. And as I think the caller pointed out, that system has, Minnesota State College University system has more students and more campuses. And those community colleges are really critical and polytechnics to the workforce issues in the state. The only thing I would add is that we are different in the sense there is more leverage at the University of Minnesota. And there's more leverage because of the research mission. That is, we do 80-some percent of all the public sector research in Minnesota. So Minsky doesn't bring in that $450, $460 million in research funds from the National Institutes of Health, the National Science Foundation, and therefore that multiplier effect that you get with graduate students and the transfer of licenses and the discovery of new things. I mean, we've got people working on unbelievable things, people who are looking at molecule-sized transistors for the computers of the future. And so we have more of a multiplier effect, meaning we attract more money, and then if the technology is transferred, more businesses start up in Minnesota. But I have no doubt that this is devastating for Minsky, and it will be difficult if they have to raise their tuition and if they cannot play their substantial role in the training of the workforce for the future in Minnesota.
One thing the governor seems to be suggesting in his budget is that if you folks do need to raise your tuition, well, okay, raise the tuition. We're going to increase the financial aid available to students who otherwise might not be able to go at that higher tuition rate, and then they can choose who's delivering the best product, put the money in their hands rather than give it to you, put it in their hands, and if you're delivering a quality education, they'll come to your school.
I think, Gary, you make a very good point, and this is where Minnesotans need to decide. It's their decision what type of institution through their elected legislators. If this type of funding continues, we could have double-digit increases in tuition, you know, every year for the foreseeable future. It would make it far more expensive, and then we could try to raise money for scholarships and so forth. We would have a high tuition, high financial aid model of higher education, somewhat like the University of Michigan, which has very high tuition. Historically, Minnesotans have rejected that. They want access at a reasonable price, and they treat education as a public good, and they want it subsidized. So my point is that's what we should be debating. You know, I'm sort of a populist in the way I see it. Minnesotans want a really fine university at a reasonable price. They don't want to be paying $15,000, $20,000 a year in tuition and applying for scholarships. But that's where this the governor's model would lead, because you will have more money in the private sector through the tax rebates. Then it's a question of where they spend it. And what we would need is to say we deliver a great product. We need to raise the price and pull those dollars in. The second thing is you have to be prepared for public institutions to go out of business. In other words, if the legislature continues to subsidize institutions that don't have good programs, that don't attract a lot of students, then it defeats the whole purpose. And I'm frankly not sure Minnesota's ready for that. I think Minnesotans like the convenience of, you know, the educational institutions near them. I think they like the low tuition, and I think they expect their state government to transfer tax dollars so that children who are middle class or poor can attend these institutions. But if that is a public debate that perhaps the governor and the legislature and higher education community should have, is the plan to drive tuition to $8,000, $10,000, $12,000, $14,000, put more money in tuition, and tell the University of Minnesota, expand your student body, put those charges on, and compete and don't come begging to us for more tax subsidies.
He has proposed increasing financial aid. The amount that he's talking about, would it be sufficient to allow students who are on the edge to absorb significant tuition increases?
Well, I haven't looked at his figures, Gary, to be honest with you, but, you know, if you, so I don't really know, but you would be talking, this is just a general approximate, a really huge tuition increase might be $500 per student per year, mm-hmm. and I don't know if there's enough money in it to absorb that. We actually, the rate of scholarships has been growing faster than the rate of tuition, but the problems come more in middle-class families and the fact that so many of our students are financially independent, and frankly, they're not very well paid. That's one of the other things I don't like. That is the our students work at relatively low wages in most cases, have relatively low incomes, are working their way through school. To me, it's very regressive to raise the tax on them through tuition, to refund it to people, many of whom are much more affluent than our own students are.
Galen, your question, please.
Yes, thank you. If the university can afford to waste millions on scandals, and if the university can afford to increase its administrators with a new provost and a new vice president, then it doesn't need any more money from the state. If the university would develop a culture of honesty, it would get lots of good ideas from its faculty and staff to cut costs.
Well, I disagree with every single one of these premises. We're not throwing money at athletics. I wish we didn't have to honor the contract that we did honor. I think it's simply a rhetorical point. I mean, these numbers for the investigation of the basketball scandal are, I mean, very substantial, but they're peanuts compared to the larger issues out there. We are conducting government in the sunshine. You can get on the web and you can see the budget for every college and what they're expected to do next year. I don't think that what the caller says makes any sense. Hey, we've actually cut the number of provosts. They were sort of like fruit flies when I arrived, and there were a lot of vice presidents. We've reduced the numbers. I think the caller's misinformed.
Petra, you're next.
Yes, I'm a senior. We feel grateful to the university for the education I received that enabled me to earn an adequate living. I'm not rich, but I do provide a scholarship for a social work student, and I find it discouraging to think that big tax cut is being sent back to the citizens, and that the government governor doesn't feel supportive of the university. And it makes me wonder, am I just replacing taxes that should be going to the university by giving a scholarship? Isn't this going to discourage people like myself who are not rich from providing scholarships?
Well, Peter, I agree 100% with you, and that's one of the things I'm deeply worried about. When you make your gift and 155,000 others who have made their gifts to the university, over our capital campaign, you're saying, look, I want to help a social work student. I want a scholarship for him or for her. I want to establish a chair endowment to help retain an outstanding professor. If you get the feeling that all the budgets are being cut and you're just making up for state support that's being withdrawn, you're going to be a real unhappy donor, and I would be too. Donors give to provide a margin of excellence and provide resources that wouldn't be there. Our donors have given, I think, so generously because they see a compact or partnership with the state. The state provides the infrastructure. The donors provide gifts that allow for the wonderful things to have, like scholarships. And this budget would break that compact.
President Udoff, we just got a story in from Worthington, where the governor is out and about today, and he's saying that what he calls blank check funding for state colleges and universities has to end. He's repeating his charge today that there are many, many, many people at the university and the other higher institutions, higher education institutions, making more than he makes, $120,000. He wants to make a complete list of all of these people. He says, then he goes on to say, football coaches make $1 million a year, basketball coaches $750,000, the head of the U gets $400,000, and everything would be a lot better at the university if you weren't paying off Clem Haskins and people like that.
Well, I respect the man, and I sort of disagree. You know, Wisconsin has a medical school. Berkeley has a medical school. They pay the medical physicians what the market bears. I don't think it's very helpful to personalize it and say that there's so many people who make more money. The question is, how good a university do you want? And if the market for molecular and cellular biologists says you have to pay them $128,000 a year, you're either in or you're out. And on the men's athletic side, they're mostly supported by ticket sales and TV. And I'm not happy about paying $1 million. I mean, I think in a fairer world, it would be different. But this notion of because there are some high-paid people that the university should retrench 6%, fall precipitously in the rankings, offer less services to students, and generally participate in an overall decline of economic activity in the state, it's just not right. I mean, that's good rhetoric, but I don't know if we'll give you the names. You know, we have 3,000 professors, including the medical school. 10% of them make more than the governor. And most of them are in the medical school. I mean, it's hyperbole.
Mm-hmm. How do you deal with the perception, though, that certainly the governor is promulgating that, in fact, there are a lot of fat cats at the U. You've got money coming out of your ears, and let's get with it.
Well, it's not true. You'll see that when we retrench. If we were fat cats, we wouldn't have to cut all these budgets. And, you know, this is a type of thing. When you actually look at how well we do in national rankings, how well 94% of our students think we're offering a great education among the freshmen. And it's not true. It's not true. It's not true. I mean, our structure, you know, of salaries is not much different from our overall structure is not much different in Michigan and Wisconsin and Illinois. I mean, I think it's just not helpful to say you're paying too much. You pay your professors in your medical school what it takes. And if our listeners, if they want to go to orthopedics and see a fine physician, if they want to see Catherine Verfai work on adult onset leukemia, or they want to see Dr. Wagner work on some genetic problem that a young child has had, you have to put in the labs and you have to put in the physicians and the other support personnel. It's ludicrous to think that this institution is fatter, or that if you looked at other institutions, there'd be no one earning more than $120,000.
Doug, your question, please.
Thank you, President Udall. I'm a alumni of the U, but I also have a hard time feeling sympathetic to your budget woes. Now, organizations in the private sector, and certainly most families and all taxpayers, can't count on double-digit budget increases year after year, and yet your comments seem to, you know, betray an expectation that the U is, you know, somehow literally entitled to increases of this magnitude year after year. And your comment that the proposed increase in Ventura's budget won't even cover your increases in health care costs, that's a great example. I mean, these are costs that every business in the state has to deal with. You mentioned access at a reasonable price, but I mean, the price includes far more than the tuitions that student pays. It includes the taxes that I pay. Are you suggesting that the you should be sheltered from the same pressures that the rest of us feel?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I am saying the state negotiates our health premium policies, and I have the bill, and I have to pay it. And no matter what we say in this conversation, I'll still have to pay it, because that's the policy that's in effect. That's what the state government negotiated. What I am saying is that we would need $90 million more than this to break even in terms of inflation. Groceries go up 3%, but we're not just buying groceries. It turns out we're buying health care insurance. That's what it costs. Now, I'm sure going to try to get that cost down, but that's a reality. And sheltered is really the wrong word. I think people need to make a decision, and I'm actually in favor of considerable tax reduction, because I think it's healthy for the economy, healthy for people to have control of their own. But you have to ask yourself, what type of educational system do we want? What type of education for our children? And I laid out two scenarios, one that would keep us roughly exactly where we are, which would cost roughly $120, $130 million, and one that would respond to the $1 billion in Michigan and the $900 million in California and all these other states that are going to create jobs, whereas we will not unless we have a similar higher education effort. And it turned out that the governor's recommendation was less than half. And I would say again, and I know many people disagree with me, it will change the character of this university. If you want an average university, then stick with this. If you think that there's so much fat to be cut that we can stay where we are and cut millions of dollars, that's not correct. If you want the state to move ahead in the 21st century and you want your children to stay in Minnesota because they can get a first-class education at one of the great research universities in America, then you have to support a larger appropriation.
Now, you came from Texas, the University of Texas, and Texas has a reputation as being a fairly, how can I put this politely, they don't spend as much on public services as we tend to do. At least that's the reputation. Is that true with the university as well?
Yeah, I do think that's true. The university, of course, has a large permanent university fund that it gets a portion of, which is from the oil lands in West Texas. So that is my background. I came from Texas, and I would say that University of Texas was pretty tight-fisted in relation to how it runs.
But they have managed to move ahead. I mean, that was one of the...
Well, so have we. You know, I mean, we have to put this in perspective, you know, that we have moved ahead on rather small budget increases. And, what you essentially see here is if there's nothing extravagant. Do the callers get would they prefer a 2 or 3% raise to keep up with inflation? Do they hope that their employer will continue to pay his share of the health premiums? Do they figure the place will be heated this year just like it was last year? What I'm saying is won't allow us to do those things without cutting to the bone at the university. And this is, the governor himself recommended a budget of twice the size 2 years ago. So I really don't think this is driven by whether some faculty make a lot of money. It's not driven by a shopping list. It's not driven by my salary. This is just driven by a idea that higher education is just one more hungry mouth to feed, and we're going to treat it like all other agencies, and that's not accurate.
Rick, your question, please.
Hi. President Udoff, I have a double interest in this since I have a daughter that's a freshman at Morris and a son that's a sophomore at the U. I think I'm getting a great bargain, and even if I include, I'm 54, even if I include all the taxes of mine that have gone to the MinSKU system over the years, I still think I'm getting a great bargain. And as far as running the university like a business, I look at this in kind of a more of a long-range situation where are we going to be able to provide the quality workers and the technical workers that the program just before this are begging for, or are we going to say, you know, we're going to have to cut back on that and only those that can afford the higher price Minnesota system plus maybe private colleges can enter into this. And I think it's just great the way it is, and I think you're doing a great job. I think the governor's off the map on this, and the proof is in the pudding. Roger Moll's a liberal. He says it's way too short. Steve Sviggum's a conservative. He says it's way too short. I mean, where does that put the governor? Somewhere off in nowhere land, as far as I can tell.
Well, obviously we hope that the leadership in the House and the Senate will see it differently, because we really are not talking about extravagance. We're just really talking almost about holding the place harmless. And you are right about the good bargain. You know, maybe many of the listeners don't know this, but tuition only covers about 15% of the cost of educating a student at the university. And I actually think that's great, because it means that people who can't afford fancy education with the high price tag. And I'd like to see it continue as a good bargain. But we will have the people of Minnesota, again, will have a choice about whether they want to stay on this road of excellence with a reasonable price, or whether they want to see the university decline or become much more elitist by charging very high prices and under circumstances where it systematically favors families that have better access to wealth.
If the governor's budget is approved, finally, and there's not a significant increase in the amount of money available to the University of Minnesota, what route are you going to recommend that the university follow? Cutbacks in programs or sharp increases in tuition to make up the difference?
Well, I think what I'm going to do is probably a combination of the two. You know, I think there are extreme positions in terms of, a really gargantuan retrenchment and reduction in programs and a sort of hit for our students in terms of an immediate and two double-digit increase in tuition. So the truth is, Gary, I'll have to look at it. I think we're going to come out better. I think this proposal is unreasonable. I think the Republicans and the Democrats surely will not give us everything we want, and they should look at every dime we're proposing. This budget is unreasonable because in a time of great plenty, it dramatically cuts back on our programs. But once we get out of this, and I have a number, I probably will use a combination of tuition increases and program cuts, trying, frankly, to get the best deal for our students. You know, that is, what types of cuts will hurt them, try to avoid the cuts that will really hurt them, and try to avoid tuition increases that will make it difficult for them to pay for their education.
You asked for $221 million in additional spending. The governor, as I understand it, is recommending 56. How much is would be enough where you could walk away and say, well, we didn't get everything we wanted here, but we can live
with
this?
Well, the way I would put it is if the budget were funded at $150 million, that would not only allow us to meet these inflationary costs, but to continue to offer our students a better undergraduate education, more advisors, more scholarships, more study abroad, smaller classes, more seminars. So I think in a sense that's the minimum. Then I think the state needs to look at its economic development policies, and I didn't see much in the governor's budget on that. There is one very fine proposal on biotechnology commercialization, which I believe is in there, and look at the whole range of economic development issues and then take a look at that part of our budget, which essentially mostly would add faculty who would do the types of research that lead to breakthroughs in human health and so forth, and licensing of new technologies and so forth that we think would help the state's economy. So for the university, the bare bones is the 150. The other part of it would make our faculty salaries competitive. Our faculty salaries are actually very low. The governor's point about that is unsustainable in comparison to other institutions. The data is all there, and we've got to do something about it. So we need to get that base funded and at least part of that economic development look to the future investment.
President Udoff, we're out of time. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you, sir.
University of Minnesota President Mark Udoff joining us during this hour of our midday program. If you missed part of this program, we're going to be rebroadcasting our conversation with President Udoff at 9 o'clock tonight here on Minnesota Public Radio. Rebroadcast at 9. And again, check out our website, not only for this program, but a full week's worth of middays and a continuing discussion of the governor's budget.
Programming on NPR is supported by the Pillsbury Company Foundation, caring for the community by giving kids a loving lift.
Also, programming support is provided by the new and renewing members of Minnesota Public Radio. I'm Gary Eichten. Again, thanks for tuning in today. Hope you can join us for midday tomorrow.
See Governor Ventura's proposed budget. Compare your plans for using taxes against his and others. And join in an online discussion. It's online at Minnesota Public Radio's website. Find it at minnesotapublicradio.org.
You're listening to Minnesota Public Radio. We have a sunny sky, 19 degrees above, wind chill 4 below at KNWFM, 91.1 Minneapolis and St. Paul. Sunny through the afternoon, with a high in the mid-20s. Tonight, light snow is likely, with an overnight low around 20. More light snow is forecast for tomorrow. Fairly windy tomorrow, with a high temperature in the middle 20s.